Welcome back to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. Wow, last time, if you were tuned in, we didn't get very far in the verse, but it is powerful what we're going to learn from Tara today. And I don't even know what to say. That's where I am. I'm just convicted so much about what we learned last week. So I'm just going to let Tara take over.
You're so funny. Let's let God take over. Yes. And it was God speaking to us, not Tara. Let's clarify that real quick.
That's true. Sorry.
It's exactly where I was, Sandy. Mm-hmm. That sometimes when we hear something from the Word of God, it just has a way of shutting us up. Right? Yeah. I love it.
That's hard to do with me, but boy, it happens.
Okay, so we have this parable, but we need to tell the parable again. Does anybody feel like they want to tell it in their own words, not memorized? Janelle, can you do it?
Always point to the youngin.
Janelle, I'm hoping you're going to Israel with me. Good practice, right?
Yeah. There you go. I have loads of money to do that. Okay. So this is a parable where Peter is asking Jesus a question of how many times he should forgive his brother. And he thinks he's all holy by saying that he should forgive him seven times because seven's such a perfect number. And Jesus just stops him right in his tracks and says, not seven times, but 77 times, or 70 times seven, or whatever your translation has, basically infinity. And he just goes straight into talking about why that's important. He says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And he had this one servant that owed him, it says 10,000 talents. It's just an astronomical amount, something he couldn't pay back. And since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay this debt. And the servant fell on his knees and begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay back everything. Then the master took pity on him, and he canceled his entire debt and let him go. Then that same servant went out, and one of his other servants, his fellow servants, came, and he owed him a couple $100s, something really small. And the servant began to grab him and choke him and said, pay back what you owe me. His fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him the same thing. Be patient with me. I will pay you back. But the servant refused and said he went off and had the man thrown in prison until he could pay back the debt. And then the other servants heard what was going on and they were distressed. And they went and told their master everything that happened. Then the master called the servant in and said, you wicked servant, I canceled all of your debt because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, the master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. And then Jesus said, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart.
Mm-hmm. That's such a good parable. Mm-hmm. So we looked last week at how the process of repentance and dealing with our sin, it's holy. Mm. And that the process of restitution that goes on afterwards of repentance, it's holy. This is something that's sacred because it's how God works in us to be near him. And that this has to be settled in our hearts in order for us to live out what this parable symbolizes for us, okay? And we looked at the fact that it's to infinity. I love the way Janelle said that. So let's look at the word. Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like. I'm going to just ask it right out. What does Jesus mean by the kingdom of heaven is like when he starts off this parable? What is he talking about when he says the kingdom of heaven is like? It's pretty simple.
It's kind of the gospel.
Yeah, the gospel message. Is he talking about God's kingdom? Mm-hmm. Present day. So. Yeah, yes, it's pretty clear. Absolutely. He starts off this parable and tells us very clearly, this is what it's like to be a part of my father's house. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. My father's family, my father's land, the land that he tells us in, what, Psalm 16, that he's drawn the boundary lines for pleasant places for us. He's telling us, I'm about to talk to you about what it's like to live with my father. Mm-hmm. Okay, we have to understand that's the premise of how Jesus begins this. And so he then says, and it came time for the king to settle his accounts. Okay, every business every month has to settle their accounts. Mm-hmm. Every year we have to settle our accounts. My husband's in stress time because he's in the middle of trying to do our taxes.
Mm-hmm. It is stress time.
It is so stressful. Tanya's not with us because she's dealing with taxes. Yep. Yeah. I mean, everybody at some point when you have income coming in, you have to go through and settle your accounts. And it's just part of what happens in life. But there will also be a day in the kingdom of heaven in God's plan of his plan where he will settle accounts. Mm-hmm.
Judgment day.
This is very much letting us know this is what's going to happen. So in God's family, he will have a time where he settles accounts. This is not going to be an account of how much money I have given to the kingdom of God as far as finances. It's going to be about who I am in Christ, if I know Christ, and what I have said and done.
For Christ.
In Christ, right. And so it's not unto works, but it's because of him in me, this is who I am, or because I do not have him, what I have done, okay? Mm-hmm. It's that is the measurement of what's happening. And so he began to settle them, and he had a man. Now, I just want you to think on this, a servant that owed him millions of dollars. That must be a really big kingdom.
That must be a big kingdom.
How many kings do you know that has somebody owns millions and millions of dollars? And, I mean, different theologians, different commentaries. I was going in, I was trying to find out the exact amount. And I just settled in on one because each of them gave their different number of what they thought. Some said it, this is in silver. Some said if it's in gold, if it's in this, if it's in that. Now, I went with Bible Knowledge Commentary because I just really like the way they do the history side of things. And they said the equivalent of 10,000 talents is essentially $67,500,000.
Wow. That's okay.
That is what in today's society that would equal out to. He said that the 100 denarii, it's the equivalent of a silver coin worth 16 cents. Mm. Or back then, a laborer's daily wage. So that gives you kind of a comparison between the two. But I found this guy, A.R.S. Kennedy. I have no idea who he is. But he gave this example. I mean, he's just somebody new to me. I just found him in one of my things. And so I just like the way he laid it out. Because what he did, he didn't do it in measurement of money, but he did it in the measurement of somebody carrying it. Okay. He said, if someone was paid 6 pences, the 100 denarii, that is equivalent to having a small pocket filled with a change coin purse. Hmm. Okay, that's the 100 denarii. The 10,000 talents would take 8,600 carriers carrying a sack that weighed 60 pounds each for over 5 miles long. Wow. That's how long it would take the number of people to carry the weight of what he was describing in this parable. The point is the debt is so grand that it's impossible that any one person would ever be able to pay it. Mm-hmm. Not the family, would not even the sale of the property. You know, I mean, this was huge, huge. And the only way that debt could be paid was by being forgiven by the king. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Sound familiar?
Yeah. Which is symbolic of what?
Our debt.
Our debt of what?
Sin.
Of sin.
Okay. It can't be paid by us, can it?
No.
And as you were talking, I was just wondering, you know, because we know what our debt is, that we can't pay it. Mm-hmm. Just thinking about that, because I'd never put it into the money like that, wondering what. Why did he owe this guy so much? What must he have, you know, gotten in return for that? I'm just like, interesting.
I mean, he must have been really up there in the kingdom.
Yeah.
Yeah. As far as the story goes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it just, when you weigh it out like that, it's like, that's intense. I mean, that's a huge 5 mile long of 8,600 carriers carrying 60 pounds worth of money. And so when you think of the visual of that, it's like, that's incredible. God just amazingly, and this king says, okay, so they're not going to be able to pay it. So have his wife, his children, all that he owns be sold and repay this debt. Mm-hmm. Now, every person living there and hearing this would not think anything of it. What Jesus just described of all of his family's items being sold. Well, yeah. The Levitical law, mm-hmm. You know, I already told you I don't like reading Leviticus. But Exodus 22:3, Leviticus 25:30 and 47, and 2 Kings 4:1 all talk about that a person can be sold into slavery
their
family and their property to pay off their debt. But the Levitical law, the way the law is set up is that on the year of Jubilee, they have to be freed.
Yeah.
And so that's every 50 years. So essentially, a person could live in servitude their entire life. Mm-hmm. This tradition was so prevalent, in the Jewish nation that I can't remember which commentator said this, but they said literally the Romans, the Greeks, and even the Burman began to take on this tradition of family indenture because it was a way of getting debt. So they would have slaves under them because the Hebrew culture did it, and they just started taking that in. And so they have historical record after record of different examples of people where entire families were indentured to pay debts. So what he was saying wouldn't have been a shock. For us today, the thought of saying, okay, Beth, you owe Tara $10, so
family's going to prison.
Sell the kids.
Sell the kids. Yeah. You got to give me Brianne to pay for your debt. I mean, we would think you've got to be kidding, but in their culture, that was something that was acceptable back then, and so that shouldn't be a surprise to us. So what did the servant do? What was the servant's response? How did he react?
He pleaded. Are you talking about the first servant that went with a big
debt? He begged
and pleaded for his
specific
patience.
Specific words, because
have patience with me.
I'll pay it back.
All right, we're going to just jump ahead. Go and look at what his servant said to him.
The same thing.
Exactly the same words.
Huh. Interesting, isn't it?
I thought that was interesting too. You know, here he said what he said to the king and was forgiven. And then he goes out and grabs the other guy by his throat, and that same man verbalized his same words back to him, but yet he didn't recognize it.
Yeah.
He wanted grace, but he didn't want to give it.
Yeah. Well, aren't we that way sometimes?
Yes.
No. I'm that way with my Greg. God forgive me. Greg, I love you.
We all are.
Yeah. I'm quick to say, Greg, you, and my finger just go. And
You know, I think about this big load they're talking. It just keeps going in my mind about what a big load we all have sometimes. Some of us don't have as big a load of sin in our lives, you know, whatever we want to look at. But it's heavy. That sin is heavy, and that's what they're talking about. It's so heavy. You need to let go of it.
Mm-hmm. I think that it's often, I think that there's a reason that it's the same words, because usually when we have trouble forgiving someone for something, or when we're critical about someone for something, that's because we struggle with that same
thing.
It's always that way for me. I get really upset by someone, and I'm like, oh, I'm guilty of that too. That's why it bothers me so much.
I think, Janelle, I don't even remember who pointed that out to me. At some point in my life, somebody said, you just need to examine every time you get angry or point somebody sin out, you need to stop and examine your heart. Mm. And once I started doing that, I totally, it was always my sin. I have never, ever, I don't think, ever looked at somebody's sin and not had in the core, in me, the core, what would have been the beginning of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, no, I've never done drugs. No, I'm not an alcoholic. No, I haven't done those things. But, yes, I have addictive behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And it may not be to those things, but it is to
something.
Other things. So
right.
I can go back to the core, the heart behind it, and find that it's in me as well.
But like when Sandy was saying, you know, what did you say exactly about the amount of sin that we've had in the past?
Right.
But see, when we all accepted Christ, he took that.
Yeah,
and
he
gone.
Took that burden off of us.
And now whatever measure we have is what we've done.
Well, and I don't know if this is even, you tell me if this is where, if I'm on the right track. When we're talking about taking the family into prison, isn't there in the Bible also generational sin? Would that deal with, I don't know,
in
I'm asking.
In Exodus, it does refer to, it's, I think it's in the Ten Commandments, actually. I think it's in Exodus 20, where it talks about that the sins of the fathers will visit to the third and fourth generation, but to those who walk in obedience to God, it will be to the thousand generations.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm. I knew there was some. I don't know if that even relates to this.
But. And I think that it's not talking like the debt of sin, but I think it's talking to the core.
Okay.
So, for example, I'll just give something within my family history. Within my family history, there is the sin, generational sin of seeing, visiting through the generations, alcoholism.
Mine too.
Okay. Yeah. And I don't know how, when, what, but by God's grace, somehow as a young person, that was recognized in me before I was fully matured in Christ. Mm-hmm. And so because I saw the tendency towards addictive behavior, I made a choice not to go
there.
Stray
away from it, right.
Right. Me too. And not allow that to become something that was invited into my life.
Right.
And so it's not, so it's the core behind why it happens.
Okay.
And so, which is why we're judged according to what is in our heart, you know, and that's where we have to make sure we bring before God when we recognize something like that. So what I did as a young 20-year-old, I recognized addictive behavior in me. Mm-hmm. I still recognize it in me. I still have to take, you know, for certain aspects to God and confessed it. But because of the generational aspect, I'm like, God, I want it to stop with me. I don't want to see this passed down further. You know, help me to repent of this and live a way so that it stops that.
Right.
You know, and that's what we can do with it.
Yep.
Yeah. That's a good question. And so, okay, so we're looking here at the kingdom of heaven and how just that settling of accounts and making sure we're right with God and making sure that we have our accounts settled with him. We have to understand this is a heart accounting.
Mm-hmm.
It is the issue of having our heart right before God because he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. He is telling a story about a kingdom, but it is a heart issue before God. And if you're ever at Grace University on our campus and sit down and talk with anybody about anything, you will hear it's a heart issue. Mm-hmm. Won't you, Janelle?
Yeah.
It's like it's at lunch at least once a day, you know, different factors that happen. And so it's always about the heart. So we want you to come back because what we're going to look at is we're going to examine what we need to guard against and then what we need to grow in us next time so that our hearts can be settled right with God. God bless.